Life throws curveballs. That's just a fact of life. It can even throw in the occasional knuckleball when life wants to be really tough. It can feel hard or even impossible to step back up to the plate because no one wants to strike out. If we do that, we let the fear, the doubts, the lies, and the anxiety win. We need to find the strength to do what needs to be done even in the face of adversity, so we are no longer captive of the very things Christ died to set us free. Here is the truth. You can't win with a bad attitude.
You ever woken up on the wrong side of the bed? Not like, oh, I got out of the wrong side. No, like you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Everything within you, like your alarm goes off, and before your feet hit the ground, you've already decided today sucks. Like it just, like you just wake up with this cranky, irritated, nothing's good, everything stinks. The day is less than 15 minutes old, and you have already determined that it's just going to go downhill from here. And isn't it amazing on those days when you wake up that way and you let that roll, that's exactly what happens? That's exactly what happens, right? If you wake up with that attitude, you're right, man. Everything's just awful. It's bad. I mean, it's amazing. On those days, there's always a traffic jam somewhere. You get behind, you know, a dump truck going 12 miles an hour, dropping stones on your car. You hit one of the wonderful Indianapolis potholes that, you know, you could plant a herb garden in. I mean, it's just, it just happens, and everything just kind of rolls. You're like, oh, this is awful. Well, today we're going to talk about how to fix that. And we're in our series, Four Truths to Win at Life. And last week, we talked about the first one, you can't win without sacrifice. Today, we're going to talk about how you can't win with a bad attitude. Next week, you know, no grass stains, no glory, no bruises, no story. And then we're going to have a lot of fun with the last one, It Ain't Over Till It's Over. And we're going to walk through those things and apply them to life, and how we can take them and put them into practice. You know, maintaining a positive attitude in spite of circumstances is way more about how you respond to something than the something that happened to you. In other words, most of the circumstances that happen to us, we don't really have control over. Like things happen, right? I mean, are you old enough to realize that you can't control your life? Have you figured that out yet? Like things just happen, right? There's nothing that you can do. But you know what's amazing is that even though there's all these things that you can't control, there's one thing that you can control, and it's actually our big idea today. And that's this. With all the things in life, there's a whole lot of things that you can't control. But what you always can control is your attitude. There's a whole lot of things in life you can't control. You can't control the weather. You can't control whether or not your car is going to work. Well, I mean, you can a little bit, but then it still does things that are wonky. You can't control, you know, what's going to happen at work today. You can't control what your boss is going to say. There's a whole bunch of things in life. In fact, quite frankly, the vast majority of things in life that you can't control. But one thing you can control, no matter what is happening, is your attitude, how you respond to it, how you handle it. And in fact, the Apostle Paul writes this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And he's talking about Jesus Christ. And he says this statement that sometimes if you're reading too fast, you can just kind of breeze by it and keep going. But I think it's really important for us to understand that our mindset, our attitude, is literally supposed to be the same as Jesus Christ had. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he says, you must have the same what? Attitude that Christ Jesus had. Now that word attitude, I'm just going to give you, it's the Greek word phreneo, P-H-R-E-N-O. It's just fun, you know, nobody cares about that. But it's really interesting because the word is more than just like, ooh, have a positive mental attitude. Have you ever met somebody like that? They're like, ooh, just have a positive mental attitude. Now what do you want to do at that point in time? You just want to slap them. Like, swack, right? That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, just be Pollyanna about everything because life is wonderful. No. In fact, that word means a mindset. An intentional mental choice. So what Paul is saying is, listen, I want you to decide right now in your mind that you are going to think the way Christ thought. Don't allow negative thoughts to take root. Don't allow yourself to believe in things. Don't allow yourself to lie to yourself. Don't allow yourself to miss what God is doing. You need to have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Paul goes on to say that even though he was the Son of God, God in the flesh, he did not think that was something he needed to try to hold on to prove himself, essentially, but rather laid aside some of the use of his godness. Now, it doesn't mean he was not any less God. He was still 100% God. He just chose not to use some of that so that while he lived and walked among us on this earth, he could be seen and was a man, a human being. He took on full flesh and kept his full divinity. It was the only time in history where it was 100% and 100%. He was 100%, 200%, whatever you want to call it, fully God and fully man. Now, process that for just a moment. We need to have the same attitude that Christ had, who left the glory and the splendor of heaven for the gore and the squalor of earth. He left everything that was wonderful and awesome and perfect and holy, and he came and was born, and everyone's like, oh, he was born in a manger. That's a feeding trough. He was born in a dog food bowl. That's what he was born in. Now, imagine that. And then being the Son of God, and he was treated like the illegitimate son of a carpenter. And yet, you read Matthew, you read Mark, you read Luke, you read John, the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels that tells the story of Jesus Christ and his life on this earth, and never once do we find him whining. Never once do we see him complaining. Never once do we hear him utter the phrase, well, that's not fair. Can I just challenge you, if you have children, share this with you. Don't let your kids say that. And here's why I say that. Because the sooner that they learn that life isn't fair, the better that they're going to be able to associate and work in society. Life isn't fair. It's not fair. Sometimes it's not fair in your favor. Sometimes it's not fair not in your favor. But life is not fair. And quite frankly, when we understand the scope of the Word of God, we don't want life to be fair, because what's fair is that we are left abandoned outside the will of God and we have no hope of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is what's fair. Another word for fair is just. And so we don't want the world to be fair. Unfortunately, for some people, that's their life motto. Life's not fair. That's not fair. This isn't fair. This isn't fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. At some point in time, I just challenge you, if you're constantly running around saying it's not fair, or they didn't like me, or I got fired because of this or everything, at some point in time, just stop and ask yourself, what's the common denominator? It could be you. You could be the reason that things are going the way that they're going. So we don't want to have that attitude. We want to have the attitude or the mindset of Jesus Christ. But before we can fix our minds to think like Christ, we first have to determine how we're currently thinking. And so let's just put it this way, because this is the easiest way to begin to think about it. And that is, we'll just talk about negative thoughts, how we think negatively. So now there's several different things on your notes there. Feel free to look at those. And I want you we're just going to walk through them really quickly. And you can determine, and maybe you're like, listen, I'm an all-star. I marked all of them. Good for you. That means just listen really closely to the rest this morning. But I want to walk through these, and I want you to be active. Don't just be passive. Don't just look at it. Grab a pen, and I want you to actually mark, because the truth is that more than likely one of these things hits where you are in your thought process and how you think negatively. So the first one is personal negativity. You're negative about yourself. I'm not smart. I'm dumb. I'll never be enough. We say these things to ourselves, these personal negativity things that we say. So if that's the things that you struggle with, just mark it. And maybe if you're like, I don't know, I don't want to want the person next to me to know that I marked that. Can I tell you, if they know you and they love you, they probably already know that about you. So just go ahead and mark it. The second one is relational negativity. And that involves the people around you. Relational negativity often sounds like this. They don't really love me the way that I love them. I'm always the one that's giving. I'm always the one that goes the extra mile. I'm always the one that makes the sacrifices and makes the allowances for the other person. That's relational negativity. Third one, circumstantial negativity. I'll just tell you, I'll be honest, this is probably the one I struggle with. Circumstantial negativity. You look at the circumstantial like, this stinks. I can't believe this. This is awful. But what happens is that changes into, I'll never get over this. I'm so overwhelmed, I'll never be able to accomplish anything. And so you look at the circumstances and you are negative based upon the circumstances. A spiritual negativity. There's no way that God could forgive someone like me. I'll never be a great Christian. And usually we throw in somebody else that we think is a great Christian. I'll never be as great of a Christian as so-and-so. And so we have the spiritual negativity. The last one, nitpicking negativity. Nitpicking negativity. For example, let's say you get really negative when, I don't know, somebody puts the dishes in the dishwasher wrong. Maybe they put the toilet paper on backwards. And you're like, well, what's backwards, Dave? Oh, you know. You know what backwards is. Maybe it's how they fold clothes, and you have to unfold everything and refold it. You get so irritated. Nitpicky negativity. So look at your list and realize where you have your weaknesses. Because once you realize where your weaknesses are, you can begin to start paying attention to those things. And you go, why does this matter? Why can't we just go through things? Well, let's do this. I'm going to share with you a verse that is a great attitude check verse. It's an unbelievable attitude check verse, especially tomorrow morning. It's Monday morning. And you wake up and you read Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Whew. You want an attitude check? Start your Monday off with that. I'm going to say something very controversial. Mondays are from God. God created Mondays. You're like, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that's the thing that he allowed Satan to create. No, that's cats. God created Mondays. In fact, he said, hey, this is the first day of the week. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Mondays are from God. If you look at Mondays like they're the worst day in the world, you are literally taking a gift that God has given you and looking at it in a negative way. Whew, that is a way to check your attitude really, really quickly. How do I deal with Mondays? So when you look at Mondays, you go, okay, they're his day, right? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad at it. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad at it. And you begin to look at it, you go, okay, this is God's day. God has given it to me, and there is no reason why I have to choose, and it's a choice, I have to choose to accept it as a bad day. Instead, I'm going to make the biblical choice to focus my attitude not on what has been in the past, because Mondays are always terrible, but rather in what could be, because God created Mondays. God's word says this is the day that the Lord has made. God's truth says that I can rejoice and I can be glad in it, so I'm going to do it. This is God's day, and if it's God's day, there's no reason why I have to make it a bad day. Therefore, I embrace it. I pray it back to God. This is your day, God. You may need to pray this all the way into work on Monday morning. God, this is your day. You have created it as your day. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. You have ordained it. You're going to guide me through it, so I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. I will enjoy and seek God's hand. I will seek his favor at work today and in my life. And you know what's going to happen? Monday will be a better day. Now, it won't be a perfect day because it's still a Monday. But it'll be a better day. And you know what's amazing? If you start doing this day after day after day, God's going to begin to renew your attitude. And then every day, not just Mondays, will get better. Now, they won't change, but how you respond to it will. Monday's still going to be Monday. So the first day of the week, it's still after a long day. You still probably staying up way too late watching, you know, binging some Netflix show or playing games way too late or whatever. And it's still going to be rough to get up with, but you know what? You can prepare the day before, just saying, just a thought, and have a better Monday. Now, I know some of you, I'm not going to point, I'm not going to look, because I don't want anyone to go, you were talking to me, weren't you? No, I'm not talking to anybody. And you think to yourself, it's just who I am, Dave. I'm a naturally negative person. God made me this way. It's just the way my mind works. Okay. Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. Let's go to that verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Now, before we read this, question. Is the Bible the Word of God, yes or no? When God speaks, does he always speak truth, yes or no? Okay. You're going to regret saying that in just a second. Because here's what the Apostle Paul says. He begins with this. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Now, I want to pause for just a minute because I want you to circle the words throw off because I think I've got a word picture that you're going to go, okay, I'll never forget that. Every time I read this, this is what I'm going to have in my head. You ever been walking and you walk face first into a spider web? Isn't it the most awful feeling in the world? You're like, sin has covered my face. This is just awful. Yesterday I was doing our, we've got about a half mile long gravel driveway, and I was doing the driveway, and I drove in between these two. There's a big pine tree on one side and a maple tree on the other side, and I drove between the two, didn't see it, and literally there was like a 12-foot long spider web. And it was, why do they always do it perfectly head level? I'm never sure why, how that works. But literally, I'm driving along just having a good time, and I feel this. Now, I almost drove off the road. Because you know what I did the minute that happened? If somebody was watching, they probably thought a bee was trying to straighten, you know, go up my nose or something. That is how we react with something that, this is exactly what Paul wants you to think. When you recognize, oh, I'm doing this. Oh, get this off of me. I don't want this on me anymore. Throw it off. Get rid of it. Trash it. Just get it off of you as quickly as possible. He says, throw it off. Don't hang on to it. You go, well, that's the way I am. Throw it off. Now, if he says throw it off, guess what you can do? You can throw it off. Just because you're like, well, my mom and my dad were so negative. Yep, they probably were. They probably were. Doesn't mean you have to be. You can throw it off. So he goes on, he goes, throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew. And what does he say that the Spirit can renew? Our thoughts and attitudes. Isn't that an amazing thing? You're like, maybe you sat here this morning and you heard me start talking about negative thinking and attitudes. You're like, I don't even know if that's a spiritual thing. Well, guess what? It is. It's highly spiritual. So much so that Paul mentions it at least four times in his Gospels about our attitude. And when we understand that our attitude colors everything in life, we begin to realize why our attitude is so important, because there's often times when God gives us blessings, but we never see it because our attitude stinks. He says, let the Spirit of God renew your thoughts and your attitudes, put on the new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. If you ever find yourself saying, well, that's just the way I am, and it contradicts with the Word of God, that's when you need to say, whoa, that's a lie. That's the way I was. But in Jesus Christ, I have the power to not be that anymore. If you go, I don't think you can change, that's fine. You and God can have that conversation. And I just promise you, calling God a liar is never a good thing. Because he says you can change through the power of Jesus Christ. So you can either embrace it or deny it. The choice is up to you. But I hope you embrace it. And I want to share with you how you can actually renew your attitudes. I'm going to give you three things. Three attitude renewing decisions that you can make right now in this moment to begin to change. And quite frankly, if you have a negative spirit in you, if you have something where you tend to lean towards the negative on a regular basis, this may be something you want to write on a 3x5 card or a little card, laminate it and put it in your purse or put it in your pocket or put it in your wallet or whatever. And you may need to pull this out on a regular basis because this is an attitude change. It is a habit thing. You have always acted that way, so therefore it becomes part of your character. So to be able to change it, you have to act and think differently so that that becomes the new habit. That's the idea of being renewed. Number one, I'll stop hanging out with negative people. I'll stop hanging out with negative people. All right. We're going to do this. We're going to say this all together. All these today, so we can just say it out loud. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. I'll stop hanging out with negative people. Don't put somebody's name there. Just listen to what David says in Psalm 1. Now, this is interesting because Psalms is a worship book. It's kind of a journal from David, but it's a worship book. Many of Psalms were put into music and worshiped with the children of Israel. Many of the songs we sing today have some of the elements of the book of Psalms in them. And David begins Psalms this way. Listen to this. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. David says, I want to set the tone. If you want to worship God, don't walk with these people. Don't stand with these people. Don't hang out with these people. Because if you do that, you will not be in the right mindset to be able to worship God. But if you avoid those things, if you avoid those people, you don't stand or sit or walk with them, you're going to be like a tree who's planted right next to this unbelievable stream that even when it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It could be 98 degrees and no rain for days. You've got the stream right there. You're constantly being fed by the Word of God. You're constantly growing. You're constantly developing. You're constantly producing fruit in your life because you're not dependent on all this other stuff. You are dependent wholly on God and Him feeding and supplying you. He goes, that's what a true worshiper of God looks like. In 2006, several psychologists got together and they wanted to do a study. They wanted to see the power of negativity. They actually called it, you can look it up, it's called the bad apple effect. So in 2006, they did this study and they randomly added a negative person to work groups. And they gave tasks. Isn't it funny? I always chuckle because I'm like, why do I keep moving from group to group? Like, oh, never mind, pay no attention to that. Why do they keep moving me? I don't know, Bob. But they randomly kept adding negative people to groups to watch to see what would happen. And I want to share with you what they came up with. Each group that had a negative person added to it was 40% worse on all their tasks compared to the control group. There was a 25% decrease in their productivity and their output as a group. There was a 50% increase in conflicts within the group, which led to less active collaboration. Here's the wild part. Each assignment lasted no more than 30 to 60 minutes. So they get a group of people, they'd assign them a negative person, and they'd give them a task that lasted either 30 to 60 minutes, and within less than an hour, that negative person had pulled the entire group down. They were less productive, there were more fights, there was more anxiety, they weren't getting things done, they didn't collaborate well, there was less congealing, there was more contraction with each other, there was no positive outcome whatsoever. Fast forward 2023, a group of psychologists thought, you know what, let's do this again, but let's do it with smarter people. We just got to do normal people. So they went to a business school. And they took 409 students that were in the MBA at this business school. And over a year's time period, they created 105 different groups out of that 409 people, always either adding or subtracting a negative person to see the response and the attitude within that. Over that year's time period, there was a 50% decrease in any group that had a negative person in that group getting A's. In other words, group of 8 or group of 5, whatever it was, they consistently got A's. You add a negative person, half the group didn't get A's anymore. Immediate. Then they started asking just random questions. Well, how did you feel about this group? And their comments were this. In each of these groups, they reported lower interpersonal effectiveness, higher conflict, weaker cohesion, and reduced satisfaction in the group project. I think group projects stink anyways, but nonetheless. Negative people can have a faster impact on you than you even realize. So you have to limit the negative people in your life. Now, can I just say, when I say negative, you might have thought of certain people. But I can also tell you that negative people are often the ones that love to gossip and complain. So, if you're like, I love drama, you may be the negative person. Just think about it. But you've got to limit your engagement with that if you want to be able to do that. Number two, these all work together. I'll stop yielding my power to negative thoughts. I'll stop yielding power to negative thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. We are human. Okay, I think we're all on that one right now. We're human. But we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning, thought, and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God, and we capture their rebellious thoughts, and we teach them to obey Christ. Countless studies, just type in negative thoughts and how it affects me. Study after study after study after study after study after study. It affects your mind, it affects your body, it affects your spirit, it affects every part of who you are. It affects your body, your immune system goes down, your digestive system starts slowing down, your sleep is messed up, your cardiovascular system gets all out of whack, you have pain that you can't describe. In your mind, you get stress, anxiety, depression, self-esteem problems. In your spirit, you feel defeated, you feel overwhelmed, you feel disconnected, you feel fear, you feel lack of belief. All of these start from negative thoughts that you allow to stay in your brain. And isn't it interesting that when Jesus Christ is asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said this, to love the Lord your God with all your body, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Huh. Isn't it amazing that negative thoughts literally block your ability from loving God the way you should? It literally actually attacks the things that God says you're supposed to be doing. Negative thoughts attack and paralyze the very things that God wants you to love him with. Negative thinking is actually keeping you from being able to love God and experience more of God's love to you. So when a negative thought comes into your brain, I want you to do three things. It's not on your notes. You can write it down if you want to. Identify, verify, modify. Those three things. Let's walk you through them real quickly. Identify. You go, yep, that's a negative thought. You're like, duh. No, seriously. Because do you realize how many negative thoughts and lies you allow to just go through your brainstem without ever identifying it as a negative thought? I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to get there. When you hear those thoughts, you go, wait. Negative thought, tag it. That's a negative thought. If you know it's a lie, tag it. That's a lie. Because what happens next time is when it comes up, you're going to be able to identify it quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. And finally, when it comes into your brain without even thinking, subconsciously, your brain's going to go, negative thought, lie. And you start identifying it that way. And then you take that negative thought and you verify it. Does this line up with what God says about me? Is it actual truth or is it a lie? And if it's not truth, then you modify it. And you go, okay, how do I change this so that it actually does line up with God's scripture? I'll give you a chance to look at this. I'm never going to overcome this bad habit. That is a negative thought. Tag it. Okay, negative thought. Then you go, okay. Let's verify it. Let's make this line up with what God says. Yes, I'm struggling with this habit, this bad addictive behavior, but I've overcome other things in my past. And then you modify it. You go, I'm going to change what I'm saying. And you say it with, I'm struggling with this right now, but in Christ, I have the ability to overcome this. And so what happens is you do that often enough, you do that every time, and then what happens is the lie, the negative thought will no longer be what comes in your brain. What comes in your brain is, yes, I am struggling with this, but through Jesus Christ, I have the power to overcome this. Now, can I tell you what a difference that's going to make in your thought process, your attitude, the way that you view life when you start saying and thinking things that way versus I'm no good, I'm awful, I'm never going to overcome this, and you go, you know what, in Christ. You don't say, I don't have any problems because we know. We all have problems. We all have issues. We could write books about the issues that we have. And so you identify it, yep, you verify it, but then you modify it. You go, no, in Christ, I can overcome this. Number three, move away from negative people. Stop giving negative thoughts the power. Number three, I'll start replacing my negative thoughts with God's thoughts. I'll start replacing my negative thoughts with God's thoughts. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Focus. Align. Keep things right here on that which is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I want you to think about that lie or that negative thought that you always allow to rumble around in your brain. Is it true? Is it pure? Is it admirable? Is it praiseworthy? If it's not, you need to tag it and go, no, I'm not going to let that happen anymore. I need to fix my thoughts on God's thoughts. Your mind feasts on what it's focused on. And the great thing is you have the power to be able to choose what you're going to focus on through the power of the Holy Spirit living within you if you know Jesus Christ. You could say, no, I'm going to choose to fix my thoughts on what Christ says. But if you constantly let your mind roll up to the negative country buffet, And you sit there and consume all of the I can't and I'm not and I've always failed at, guess what your brain is going to default to? But if instead you move your mind over to the positive truth bistro and you say, you know what? I'm going to fix my thoughts on God's thoughts. I can't, but God can. I am not, but Christ is. I don't have the power, but the Holy Spirit does. You begin to change how you think. And by the way, if you change how you think, do you know what it also changes? It changes how you act. It changes your attitude. It literally can change your personality because you are choosing to fix your thoughts on God's thoughts. You are the one who's filling up the plate of your mind. What do you have on your plate? What do you have on your plate? What are the things you are daily consuming or binging? Because that's what's going to come out. There's a whole lot in this world that we can't control. But no matter what is going on, you can control your attitude. Today, we're going to close. We're going to do something together as a group, which I know you all love group projects. We've been talking about it all morning. So, but I wrote out a little prayer for us, and I want us to actually pray it together as a group because I feel like that this is something that to varying degrees we all struggle with at different times, maybe even different days, different periods of our life. And so whether or not we're in it right now, hopefully you're getting ready and getting your mind ready to be stronger. And no matter what wave of season of life comes, that my prayer is that as we go through this, it's just going to build you up and make you stronger so that when it comes, now you're going to go, whoa, 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 I recognize it. I'm going to tag it. I know what that is. That's not true. And so I just want to kind of solidify it together. So I'm going to ask you to just put all your stuff down, you know, set it in the seat next to you or whatever. And we're going to all stand, okay? And we're going to all do this together. So if you're with somebody and they're not doing it, just do one of these things, just like that. Just like that, okay? And so nope, relax, it's okay. It's not crazy. This isn't a cult, I promise. We're just going to pray through this together, okay? So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'm going to switch this out so that I can actually see it, and we're going to read it. And so our team can actually come up this morning and be able to go through this morning. So, all right, so let's pray this together. Okay, God, I commit to you that I'm going to no longer hang out with those who would pull me away. With their negativity and their ugliness, give me the power not to dwell on negative or destructive thoughts, but to replace them with your truth, renew my mind with the truth of your word. Give me the same attitude as Jesus. And in his name, we pray. Amen.